Right now, it is time to bring in our friends from the BerkshireEdge.com. They join us, I'll say 99.9999% of the time on a Wednesday morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio, and that is Marcy and David. And very quickly, I'll wish you guys ahead of time a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. And you too. Yeah.
Well, you know, I look at this first story that you've got, and I want to tell you something. Well, yeah. It's, you know, the Cove Bowling Alley. As a kid and as a younger person, I used to love to go to Great Barrington to go to not only the Cove Bowling Alley, but there was a terrific Chinese or restaurant that was also attached to the side of that. And there used to be bowling clubs from down here that people bowled up there.
Yep.
You know, and back when the Jennifer House was there and going strong.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that the Cove is, as you put, finally up for sale and also a foreclosure kind of tells you how drastically the times have changed.
Oh, yeah. It's too bad. Yeah. Well, I guess we don't really know if times have changed so drastically or whether the bowling alley was just not properly maintained.
Yeah.
Because
the roof was leaking.
You know, I think that, maybe bowling leagues have diminished in popularity, but a lot of people would go there, and I know that there are bowling leagues. There have been bowling leagues here in the Berkshires because we know people who have been in them.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and I used to take my kids there.
Yes, constantly.
Yeah.
Man, everybody loves. I mean, kids love that place.
Well, you know, the whole thing when you go there as a kid to bowl, and you wear somebody else's shoes, and you have to wear
those special shoes, right?
And it was just always a lot of fun, whether you were a good bowler or not. It's true, it was a fun place to go to.
And the ball was really much heavier than you could handle, so you had to kind of like roll it very gently down the middle. You know, when you're a kid.
But it is a pity because, I hope somebody buys it and revitalizes it, but I suspect somebody's just going to buy it for the real estate.
Well, the history behind it, though, being semi-associated with the Big Lebowski is just a piece of history that is so cool.
Yes, it is. And, you know, we wrote about that a couple of years ago. We think that that's the case.
Yeah.
Because the Coen brothers lived in Great Barrington. They were students at Simon's Rock.
Right.
So
they probably had their taste of a bowling alley going there when they were students.
Right.
Right.
Anyway, it is a shame, and there's an auction. What day is the auction? It's the 15th, I think.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel badly for the people who own it because they are stuck. I mean, they owe a lot of money, and they. But still, I mean, we're going to miss it in town.
Well, what was the sale price? It was about $4 million. It's going to be interesting to see what it goes at auction.
No, it wasn't $4 million. I think it was it was like $1.25 million.
Really?
$1.25 million, I think. $1.5 million when it was last bought.
Well, that was when it was last bought, but I think that it appeared someplace. But anyways, it is going to be interesting to see what happened. And the higher the price means that it's probably that somebody pays for it. It's definitely for the real estate to do something else.
Yeah.
With it.
Well,
that's right.
The current owners put it up for sale for $4.5 million, but they didn't sell it.
Yeah. No. No.
So now I think it's put up for about $1.5 million, which is about what they owe. I mean, I don't know if they have a price, but, anyway, I think it's probably about $1.5 million that they need.
And it's one of those, it is a shame because it's one of those places where when you have young kids, you can take them. You know, there's not many places like that.
No, and there's nothing for kids to do in the Berkshires either, so that's the problem.
And so it's a shame.
Anyway,
well, that is.
Let's hope that it doesn't.
Or that somebody revives it.
Yeah, that somebody revives it. That would be great.
It would be terrific. But it just brings back a lot of memories when you mentioned the Berkshire Cove. And I forget the name of the restaurant that was next to it, but as a kid, I used to love to sneak over there and get something to eat.
Well, it also had a snack bar.
They had a snack bar and everything.
Yeah, it was really cool.
They had games, and back then they had games for stuff like that for kids.
Oh, they did. They had pinball. Yeah, right. They had a game room, actually.
So it really was a family center. It really was a family center.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on from the Cove to Berkshire Ground. Now they've created a network of farmers.
Well, they already are. The Berkshire Grown already is a network of farmers, and what they are doing is really strengthening the web of organizations in the Berkshires that pay attention to food insecurity. So it's not only Berkshire Grown; it's Berkshire Bounty. It's the United Way. There are a number of organizations. The Southern Berkshire Rural Health Network. So there are a number of organizations that are concerned about food insecurity in the Berkshires. And what they are trying to do is coordinate and figure out where the gaps are, coordinate the activities of all of these organizations so that the gaps get filled. And food insecurity gets decreased. So it's not so much new organizations; it's much better coordination among organizations that already exist.
Right. Berkshire Grown is just a really splendid kind of collaboration between farmers and markets. It's just a terrific organization.
Well, motto is keep farmers farming. And there's also another terrific organization in the Berkshires called Berkshire Agricultural Ventures, which is only about 2 or 3 years old, but it's a lending organization to farmers because they realize that farmers in the spring don't have money, and they don't get their money until after the crops have all had to be put in and equipment needs to be used. And so they are a lending organization. They lend farmers in anticipation of the growing season so that farmers can make it through and have a prosperous growing season. So that's also, we have a number of really terrific organizations here in the Berkshires.
To support
agriculture.
Right.
And also now to support food insecurity, which obviously grew enormously with the pandemic. And they became so aware of how insecure so many people are, elderly, low-income migrants, people unable to, or immigrants, they're seniors, and people who have no homes. So there are lots of overlaps and lots of gaps.
All right. Food insecurity, since 2019, when this whole pandemic thing began, there was always food insecurity, but the width and the breadth of it and the different people that it could be, you could be middle class or poor, it really expanded over the past 2 years an amazing amount.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Right. No, it did. We don't realize it. We think that there's such plenty in this country, but there's so many people who can't afford to pay for food.
Well, the food situation is like the health situation. Yes, we have lots of food, plenty of food, plenty of great health care. The access to get it and the affordability is another thing.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, let's go to climate change. Climate change comes to the Berkshire.
Right.
You're going to prepare for it. How is this going to happen?
Speaking of food insecurity
General vulnerability.
Right.
I like the name of this, the Municipal Vulnerability Preparedness Program. Wow.
Yeah, so that's a state program.
And
it's a terrific state program to get people to get municipalities to figure out what's going to be a problem when there's more rain and more bad weather.
Right. And this is something, this is they received through the Greenagers Youth Crew. Greenagers is a great little organization here that of young people who actually have helped us here at our home, where they will help put in our garden for us.
they sell raised beds.
Yep.
They sell plants, vegetables to plant in them. But now they have they have part of a grant from the Municipal Vulnerability Preparedness Program.
And it has the name of this program is the Housatonic Stream Restoration for Regional Flood Resilience Project. Now I don't know what that acronym would possibly sound like if you try to pronounce it, but there you go.
So they are, they are looking at stream and river crossings, bridges, river banks, trying to figure out, if we have more rain, what needs to be fixed in order to
if we have to prepare. They're just planning ahead is basically what this is.
Yeah.
Because the river can and has flooded, and they're anticipating that perhaps, this might be a more common occurrence.
Yes, right. Well, likely it will be.
Well, yeah. And the Housatonic, especially when you get into Great Barrington and then down into Connecticut, the floodplains are much more expansive and larger, and acres and acres get flooded at a time, and it doesn't take that big of a rise in the Housatonic to create that flooding.
No, it hasn't. We've had some floods in the past,
yeah.
And it can be really damaging to the floodplain. Can just get swamped, so
right,
to speak.
Right.
So it's good for them.
And since we are on a river, that makes a difference.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And like I said,
right.
you can go up to and especially at a rainy spring, and you can drive up 7 and you can see the floodwaters. There used to be a restaurant that used to get flooded out every year. It seemed.
Right, down in Sheffield.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but, well, anyway.
That, what was that called? It's gone through various names.
Yeah, it's gone through various names.
Right.
But it used to get flooded.
Yeah.
That was
flooded,
the problem.
Right.
In fact, we knew the owners because they had a child that was friends with our kids. So, that the Housatonic River Valley is prone to flooding.
Yeah. All right. I want to go on to your next story. It's a story that you've reported on and we've talked about, and that's there's a new assistant town treasurer in town.
Right.
Well, yes.
Because
we had an assistant town treasurer who
stole
money from the town.
So now we have a new one who hopefully will not.
Right. Named Jackie Dawson.
Right.
And so the town is trying to not only reorganize the Treasury Department, but also they're trying to recover the money that was stolen a couple of years ago.
Although the former assistant treasurer has pleaded not guilty, but there's something like $167,000 missing. Now the town has recouped some of the stolen funds, maybe most of it through insurance,
sure.
But still, there was $167,000 missing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but
that's one of the. Go ahead, Marshall.
Great Barrington. It seems like in South County, there's a lot of towns that have problems with. I forget the name of the town where, but just about how many people have resigned from government and now
what town is that, David? You know, everybody's resigned. Is it Sheffield?
And there's a there's investigations now into it. Just a small town, but it's just
yes, right.
It's amazing when you look at it.
I forget which town it is, but everybody has resigned. Right, there's no government anymore.
Oh,
what is that? Is it Monterey?
I think it's Monterey. Yeah.
Maybe Monterey. I'm trying to remember which one it is.
Well, you know, it doesn't take much for the for a small town government to be crippled by criminality, because they rely on so few. There's so few people actually, and so it's. I mean, the government is just a few people, actually.
You know, it's interesting because Monterey is even going to try to petition the state to change their charter so they could have recall elections there. And that's a tough order to do, though. That's not very easy to do.
Well, you know, the problem is that there are very few people who live in these towns.
Yeah.
And you've got to find people who are willing to... devote so much time to town government and not be paid for it, and also who are capable of helping to run the town. So it's hard to find people.
Right, it's a double-edged sword. You're right, and it's only going to get harder in the future. Another story that
the same is happening with volunteer fire people.
Well, yeah, ambulance squads, volunteer fire people. And also when you're in town government now, there's people that come into town and they have basically busloads of lawyers, and so you've got common town folks that are taking on lawyers, and it's not an easy situation. It really
is not. No, it's not. I mean, the population has changed, and the second homeowners are much more capable of. And even they're not only second homeowners, but they are, they're new residents who are buying expensive homes, and who can outspend the town very easily.
Yeah, that's a problem. Well, let's go on to something that's actually in good news, and that is a virtual meeting to talk about upgrading the Lake Mansfield recreation area.
Yeah, now Lake Mansfield is our town beach, and it's a charming little lake in Great Barrington.
Right, and this is a restoration project to make sure that the beaches that are expanded and this is a major upgrade to the beaches. That the Lake Mansfield is just a great town resource.
Yeah.
I mean, it not only does it have a beach, but it's a great place to kayak, and it's a real town treasure.
I mean, kids meet their friends there. I mean, parents visit. I mean, it's got a nice little beach, but the bank needs to be stabilized. There's too much vegetation in the lake. I mean, there's stormwater runoff. There's, the roadway and the parking lot are dangerous. I mean, there's a lot of, we've been living with it very well, and people have been enjoying the lake, but this is to protect it for the future.
And to improve it, too.
Yeah.
Right.
They're going to put new playground equipment in, and
they're going to put changing rooms and bathrooms.
Right,
right.
Now,
and just the maintenance of it is going to be improved, and they're going to add some trails, and so it's going to be restored to a real community resource. So, good news.
I was reading.
It's Monday, December 6th. Yeah. There is going to be a Zoom meeting. And we have a link to the agenda and the planning documents so people can participate.
Yep.
Local democracy at its best.
I was reading a story that Massachusetts passed a $2 billion mark in revenues from the sale of cannabis. And in Great Barrington, you point out in a story that $350,000 in revenues will be distributed to local agencies.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's $150,000 going to the regional school district, which is always a bone of contention at every town meeting because Great Barrington pays so much of the school budget because it has more of the kids.
Right.
It's really, I mean, it's terrific. I mean, it's, you know, and
it also helps to keep taxes
down.
Under control.
Yeah, that's right.
And the school district is going to get out of this $150,000 from Great Barrington. So that is, and some of the other organizations in town, like Volunteers in Medicine and the Railroad Street Youth Project, are also benefiting from this. So this is really a surprising bonus.
It's a great bonus. Now
right.
we only have about 2 minutes left, and of course, here at the radio station, now that we're back into normal, we have pages and pages and pages of announcements for events going on, and you have a roundup of all the seasonal light displays and celebrations going on in your area.
Yes, this is from our magazine. You know, we have a print magazine, which in the November, December, and January issue is out and in circulation, and we also have put the same articles on our website. One of which is called "Season of Light," and it's a great article. About how every religion and every culture seems to have a holiday that involves light in these darkest days of the year. So we've done a roundup with pictures and links of, you know, these fantastic light shows that are available here in our area. I mean, the outstanding one is in Springfield, I mean, which is... Apparently, I've never been there, but it's called Bright Nights at Forest Park in Springfield, and it is amazing.
Sensational, yeah.
Yeah, it's sensational.
But ours, the one that we like is the one, the winter, it was called Winter Lights at Noun Cave.
Yes, we went to that last week.
Yeah, and it's just sensational.
Right.
To walk around the grounds of Noun Cave and see the lights that have been put up on, it's just... Really, you might say it's heartwarming.
Yes, it is. Right, and Rhinebeck has a Sinterklaas. So there are, you know, we have a roundup of the big ones. There's also a light show at at the Mount.
Yeah.
Also, that's in I think its second year. That's supposed to be quite interesting.
Well, I want you guys to have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah, you have a happy Thanksgiving too.
And we'll speak to you next week, and we'll see what we've all done with the turkey leftovers, what we've made.
Yeah.
After.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot.
Yeah, right.
Okay, guys, we'll speak to you next week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air. TheBerkshireEdge.com is where you'll find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.